starting our new series, Have Faith in God. Our goals for our series, five goals Brother Sexton has for this series, to help us understand that the object of our faith is to be the Lord Jesus Christ and that we must keep our eyes upon Him. Secondly, to learn that our faith in God is demonstrated by living a life of obedience to God's Word. Thirdly, to allow the Lord to be great in our lives so that others will know what a mighty God He truly is. Fourthly, to live by faith in our homes and take seriously our responsibility to teach our children of God and His Word. Then fifthly, to determine by God's grace to finish right and to finish strong in the faith. On the back cover of your book, it says, this series of lessons is given by prayer that as they are studied and applied, your faith will grow. The faith life, as Brother Sexton refers to it, the faith life is the real Christian life. Our Lord has designed the Christian life so that it can only be lived by faith. The faith life is the required Christian life. Our God requires faith. Brother Sexton asks that I hope you will attempt to memorize the entire 11th chapter of Hebrews. I believe that was 40 verses. Is that right? Somebody got their Bible open? Hebrews 11, it's how long? 40 verses. That's quite a challenge he's got there. Maybe you can do that. There's going to be 14 verses out of this chapter that we're going to learn as we go throughout the lessons. The faith life is a rewarded Christian life. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That diligently seek Him. Have faith in God. I'd like to welcome everyone. Thank you for coming. I hope that you'll find these series to be a blessing, as I know they have been to me since we've started these different series, God has been working in my heart and in my life through His Word. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this morning. We're thankful again that we can meet around Your Word, that we can again have truths proclaimed from You that can give us patterns in which we can live our lives. Lord, we pray for our pastor this morning over at the Evans Chapel. We pray for Your filling of him. Lord, pray for the teachers in both buildings. Lord, that each teacher would be filled with Your Spirit and filled with Your power. Lord, we pray for each person that's sitting under Your Word. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would fill them, that the Word of God would be rich in their lives. Lord, make us Christians. Make us people that as they see us, that they see Jesus. Lord, we're frail people. We have sin in our life. We're just human beings. We have failures. We have sins. But Lord, there's people that we're the only Jesus that people might see. People in the plants where we work, or the shops where we work, or wherever we work, they don't pick up their Bibles anymore. They don't hear about the Lord. They'll just see about Jesus in our lives. Lord, might we live lives of faith that those around us can see the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Might we be a witness and a testimony to those around us. Lord, again, we pray for Your Word, that it would meet the need, that it would reach the mark that it needs to reach in each of our hearts today. In Jesus' name we thank and praise You. Amen. The Faith of Abel, Lesson 1. The Lord tells us the difference between the offering of Cain and the offering of Abel. In Jude 11, we read, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." The way of Cain is the way of those who are self-willed and self-determined. It is the way of those who deny God. We shall all go the way of Abel or the way of Cain. We shall live the life of faith or the life of self-will and self-service. For our lesson aims today is to show that the Christian life is a faith life. This is a life that we live by faith, and that the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, secondly, to know that parents have a responsibility to teach their children who God is and what God has said in His Word. Then thirdly, to understand that we must demonstrate the faith that we have in our hearts by yielding to the Lord whatever it is that He would require. Fourthly, to realize that we face the decision every day to live by faith or to live by self-will and self-service. Then fifthly, to see that we must have faith in God, even when we are sinned against by others, knowing that one day God will make all things right. God will make all things right. The faith of Abel. Anybody ready with that verse today? That's a big verse. I see people smiling, but your hands aren't up. Is that if your hands aren't up? Is your hand up? You're adjusting your glasses. I'm sorry. Okay. Remember, this is like an auction. You move that hand and you just bought something. Okay, Kelly Dye. I know you do. God testifying of His gifts. Nice job. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was a little bit difficult to memorize. You just work at it a little bit harder. You've done the hardest part. The hardest part is that initial getting it nailed down. That's the hardest part. Now tuck it in your file. There it is. And review it before your eyes. As Hebrews 2:1, lest we let them slip. We don't want to let God's word slip. We don't want to let it slip. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be jumping back and forth between those two passages. We're going to do the questions along with the lesson as we're going. We're not going to do them at the end today, so we'll be doing them right during it. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Like I say, we'll be between the front and back of the Bible today. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Monday, your question for Monday, then is, what did Abel do by faith? And he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Excellent. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the Christian life is a faith life. Wednesday's question, the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wednesday, the question was, we learned that the object of our faith must always be whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. The Lord illustrates the faith life in the lives of this glorious group of believers found in Hebrews chapter 11. The first person on the list who illustrates living by faith is Abel. In Hebrews 11, 1 through 4. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. The Lord Jesus confirms in the Old Testament record concerning Abel. Consider what Christ says in Luke 11, verse 50, Luke 11. Luke 11, 50. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. The blood of all would be required of this generation. Obviously, whose blood are we talking about here? Abel's. Because Cain slew Abel. So Kelly, would you get a book? Cain killed Abel. So the blood this verse is talking about is of course Abel's blood. Abel's blood, which was a testimony. Abel's blood, Abel's sacrifice was a testimony. Even after Abel died, and by it he being dead yet speaketh, because of the testimony that he had, because by faith he offered the right sacrifice, he being dead, Abel being dead, yet was able to speak. Because the act of faith that he did in obeying the Lord, in presenting the sacrifice the way that it should be presented, yet lived on. Question for Tuesday. The Lord Jesus testified that Abel was a righteous man. Tuesday's question. What testimony did the Lord Jesus give concerning Abel? That he was a righteous man. The Lord said that. The Lord said that. The Lord testified that Abel was a righteous man. In Jude 11, we read, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." The way of Cain is the way of those who are self-willed and self-serving, self-determined. It is the way of those who deny God. We shall all go the way of Cain or Abel. One of those ways we're all going to pick. We're going to do the sacrifice the way God said. Or we're going to do what we want. And you know, the Lord gave Cain the same opportunity as he gave Abel. Cain didn't get gypped on anything. Cain got everything that Abel got. Cain just didn't respond right. Cain didn't respond right. Cain and Abel were told by their parents, of the sin that had come into the garden and of the animal that had been sacrificed for them. And they were both told of the first gospel, as we read in Genesis 3:15, as the first gospel is presented. That was presented to them. They knew that. They knew that story. That story had been rehearsed to them by their parents. They both had the same access to God. They both had the same benefits from God. And yet Cain chose his way over God's way. It is a tendency of us as mankind to choose our way over God's way. It's our tendency. It's in our nature. It's in our fallen nature. We have a fallen nature. The family of Abel. Abel was the second son of Adam and Eve. Notice with me in Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Genesis 4, 1 through 5. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord. What a promise. What a promise. She remembered Genesis 3:15. She remembered that someone was going to come and was going to defeat Satan. She knew that promise. And here she's got her first baby, and she's thinking, this is it. This is that promise which God has made. Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. As we read the Bible, we understand that God wanted parents to instruct their children. Adam and Eve had no written revelation, as we have the benefit of having. They didn't have this, yet they did have the testimony of what they had been through. From what we find in Scripture, we learn that there were certain things that these parents taught their sons. In Genesis 3:15, we read Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and in conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat the bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. The Lord made coats of skins. Where did he get the leather? It was an animal. It was an animal sacrifice that day. An animal gave his life that day. An animal's life, I'm sorry, was taken from him that day. An animal's life was taken. Blood was shed. The Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Purged with blood. You can go anywhere on this globe, and somehow people that you would think have never heard God's word, yet you know what they're doing? They're making blood sacrifices. They're making blood sacrifice. They're sacrificing. You can go and throughout history, they would sacrifice their babies to their gods, to the Ganges River. They'd throw their babies in to their gods that they had fashioned of brass and have fire in there. They'd throw their babies. They were making sacrifices. And people say, well, what about those that have never heard? They've heard. There's a gospel, and it's written in their hearts. It's written in their hearts. It's written in their Romans 1, 19 and 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creational world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The sacrifices. It's written in mankind. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not fair when people die that haven't heard the gospel. God wrote it in their hearts. God wrote it in their hearts. Like I say, you go anywhere and they're doing some kind of sacrificing. And they've never read the Bible. They've never heard about the Bible. They've never, and yet there's something written in mankind. That sacrifice that was made that day, that animal's life was taken, that blood was shed, and God clothed mankind. Mankind had tried to clothe himself, tried to hide himself when his sin was revealing what he was. And God had to come. And these are the things we teach our children. They rehearsed, Adam and Eve rehearsed with Cain and Abel, that we were sinners. We were sinners. God put us in a perfect garden, and we were sinners. And we brought sin to the garden. Taught them, and this is Thursday's answer for Thursday's question, taught the children, all men are sinners. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All men have sinned. And this is what they told Cain, and this is what they told Abel. Then they told him that sin must have a covering. It must have a covering. That covering that day was when God took that animal and slay that animal, when that animal's blood was shed, and God took that carcass and made a covering for man. Then we need to teach our children and teach those around us. Every man-made attempt to cover sin is worthless. Every man-made attempt. I've been at funerals of good people. I've been at funerals of people that did very good things in their lives. I've seen men walk down an aisle in memory of a guy dead, and they had a regalia on, and they're little pillows in their hand and little things. And they came forward and they said about the good deeds this man had done. We're going to take him to a higher plane. And they were serious. That's what their religion taught. That his good deeds was going to take him to a higher plane. Our good deeds would take us right straight to hell. Why? Because our righteousness compared to Christ's righteousness, it's just not there. All the good deeds you and I have done don't come anywhere near the holiness of a thrice holy God. We don't come anywhere near it. In my best day, I come nowhere near a thrice holy God. In my best day. In your best day, God is holy. Those deeds that the supervisor of mine from the first shop I worked in died of a heart attack. And they talked about his deeds, taking him to a higher plane. It wasn't going to happen. Because why? Because man is a sinner before a thrice holy God. And that every man made attempt, all the good deeds in the world, and they do a lot of good deeds. The Shriners are out there, and they give children surgeries. Little Kevin had a couple fingers together or something. The Shriners paid to have the fingers separated at when he was young so he could live a normal life. Those are good deeds. But they won't get you to heaven. They come up short. every man-made covering is worthless. God will provide the covering for sin. And God did before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world for mine and your sin, and for the sins of the whole world. The faith of Abel started with what he heard his parents say to him concerning God and his word. The flock of Abel, we find in Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Did I already read that? I did. Okay, we find in Genesis 4, 1 through 5 that Abel offered the firstlings of his flock to the Lord, and Cain, his brother, chose his own way. He brought of the fruit of the ground, which God had cursed. We're dealing with two boys from the same home who were both taught God's word. How did this happen? Remember, Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When someone hears God's word, he must act upon it. He must act upon it. When man comes to a point where he realizes in his heart, in his life, man, there's something bigger than me. There's a God out there. When man comes to that point and that understanding, he makes a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to do what I'm going to do, or am I going to do what God tells me to do? Friday's question, the first part of it, Friday's question, why did Abel bring the offering he brought to the Lord? It was the faith of Abel. It was the faith of Abel. The faith of Abel. What was it, his action of offering the sin? That was in obedience, but it was his faith. It was his faith. Does the Lord need our sacrifices? No. We just went through Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 16. What does David say there? He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. David would have loved to give in any sacrifice to make the adultery go away, to make the murder go away. David would have done any sacrifice. The Lord doesn't want that. What did the Lord want from David? He wanted his heart. He wanted David to have the right heart. He wanted David to have the right heart. It was a faith. It was a faith. David made the decision that day to finally, when he came to the point where he recognized the totalness of his sin, he turned to the Lord. He said, Lord, you don't want my sacrifice. You want my heart. The sacrifices of God are what? Are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit and a broken heart. Those are the sacrifices of God. And then in Psalm 51, verse 19, then the sacrifices come. After the faith is right, after our actions are right, after we've turned our heart to the Lord, then the Lord says, then shalt thou be pleased with sacrifice. Psalm 51, verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Then it's a sweet, sweet savor to the Lord, our sacrifices. Then they're a sweet savor to the Lord. What are our sacrifices? Do we sacrifice animals? No. What do we give? We give ourselves. We pick up people and we take them to church. That's a sacrifice to the Lord. That's what that is. We give them a Thompson Chain Bible, Brother Kelly Dye's wife, a new convert, needed the Bible. She took her $40 Thompson chain, and this was many years ago, and she gave it to the guy. Could he have had a $3 Bible off the shelf? Yeah, he could have. What was her sacrifice to the Lord that day? Her Thompson chain Bible. Because there's somebody that needed to grow in the Lord. Somebody that needed to grow in the Lord. The Lord wants our hearts. He wants our sacrifice of our hearts. As a young boy listening to God's great preachers. I can remember knocking on doors and an old man saying, you know, I'd go to church if I just had a suit, if I had something to wear. And I thought, phew, buddy, you got a suit. And I gave him the very best suit I had. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying that was a gift that I gave. It was something I gave to the Lord. The guy never came to church. Did I give the suit to the Lord? I sure did. These are the gifts that we give. These are the sacrifices that the Lord wants. The sacrifice of faith was by Abel. That led him to bring the offering that God required. But what Abel did with his flock, he declared boldly, God is right. Cain said, no, I'm right. This is where we all struggle. We're either going to insist that we are right or that God is right. In Genesis 4, 6 through 10, Genesis 4, 6 through 10, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain had the opportunity. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He had the opportunity. But if not, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. Make the right decision now, buddy. Make it now. This is an important time. You have the opportunity. Make the right decision. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Crieth unto me from the ground. Friday's question, the second part of it, Cain continued to seek his wicked way. Cain continued to seek his wicked way. He had the opportunity there in verse 7. Shalt thou not do well? The opportunity was there. He chose not to take it. His heart became harder and harder until one day he killed his own brother. Disobedience to the Lord results in a tragic life. Disobedience to God's word will result in a tragic life. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saturday's question, what does the offering of the Lord require of us? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Then the second part of that question, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. What is necessary in order to bring that offering? That we be not conformed to this world, but that we be transformed by God's word. The future of Abel. The story we read in Genesis is not the last thing we shall hear of Abel. In Hebrews 11, 4, concludes by saying, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The testimony of Abel is going on even today. Even today. Because why? Because he made the sacrifice. That was the obedience. But by faith, he made a decision. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do what God says. By it, he being dead yet speaketh. What is he saying? The Bible says in Genesis that his blood was crying out. He had been sinned against. He had been sinned against by his brother. His own flesh and blood killed him. His own flesh and blood. Abel's faith was a testimony against Cain. Testimony against Cain. You know what they do with people when you can't deal with them? What have they done throughout history? They've burned Christians. They've whatever they wanted to Christians. Why? To get that testimony away. To get that testimony away. Burn them Christians. Then we don't have to hear them talk about our sin and tell us that we're sinners. Burn them Christians. Abel's act of faith was a testimony against Cain, and Cain could not take it. There are many people who have been terribly wronged in our world, but we have faith to know, we must have faith to know that God will one day make all things right. In the end of this chapter, we're going to see people that have died for the cause of Christ, that chose not to be delivered, but that died. And the great sermons that you always hear preached about, we've read the last chapter. That's not just a happy saying. That is a reality that we will see someday. Those that have been wrong, God will make things right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the truth of Abel, that as he made his sacrifice by faith, that you found that to be right. Lord, we offer to you here today our lives as living sacrifices. Lord, we pray that your word would weave into our lives, that as others come around us, they would see the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would see the Word of God, that we would make a difference and have an impact on others. We love you. We thank you for your gift. We thank you for coming and dying and shedding your blood that we could be saved. Lord, help us to tell others the good news that they can have eternal life. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.